This is a Collider.com audio interview.
That's a cool sweater.
Thanks.
I like that. Isn't just indicated that there really wasn't any ad-libbing, which sort of surprised me, because I thought
surprising?
It looked like there was a lot of ad-libbing.
I know, it does look
there
like
wasn't,
that.
I guess.
That's a credit to good writing and relaxed actors, because I think Wes created a wonderful environment where the writing was succinct but real and fun, and you know, we interacted very well. There was a lot of we connected. I think we were good friends, and we were good to each other, and we were all there for the right reasons, and we worked hard, and I think that shows. Mm-hmm. And
but when you went in, were you expecting some ad-libbing? Have you three brothers?
Yeah,
okay?
I guess so. I guess yeah. I probably would have, because you know, in the nature of his films, they do feel like that. But you know, the style in which he shoots is pretty specific. So you can't. I mean, because we're shooting these masters and these moving masters, you can't mess up anything. If one thing doesn't work in that. Mm-hmm. In that sequence, the whole scene's dead, and you got to do it again. And you don't want to be the one that screws it up. And I think there is a need to everybody be very, very on the ball. And then I think the physicality and the humor, the silent kind of gestures, and that's all improvised, and that's changing constantly based on what the other person just did or how they said their line. But the actual dialogue itself remains intact. So it's good. It was a good way of working.
So speaking about these movie masters, and you know, you talk about you can't screw anything up, but you're on a train, and obviously there must
can screw something up, but it's not my responsibility.
No, exactly.
And it did often.
That
you know?
Was my question. Yeah. Like, were you doing 10 takes because the train...
We would do 20 sometimes because the train would slow down, and then you'd see Wes being like, you know, in the middle of the scene, catch him, he'd be behind the camera and be like, and then, you know, it has to match and it has to work. And but for the most part, it flowed very smoothly. I think Wes has something very specific that he's looking to catch, and when he catches it, he knows it, and we move on. And it's pretty brave filmmaking, because he doesn't have anything to cut to in the editing room. He's not saying, okay, we're going to do all these great, complicated shots, and then we're going to do coverage, and then we're going to do that. We're going to do this complicated shot, and then we're going to move on. So it took more takes than usual, but then it saved so much time because we weren't going into coverage. And essentially, you have a much greater understanding of how your role plays out, because so much can be shaped in an editing room, and they may not even be the choices you would want to make, because, you know, it's not... You wouldn't want to repeat yourself in every take. You wouldn't, you know, you would be... You can't repeat yourself, and I try to change the way I do things constantly, and so at the end of the day, we do 7 versions of a close-up. I don't know. I you know, if the director has an idea for one thing, I'm game to try it, and I may say I don't think that's the right way to go. I'm going to try and do a very different approach. At the end of the day, he can use the one that I don't feel is appropriate, and that's his. He's entitled to do that. But so I think I had a real clear understanding of where Peter was at any given time, which was kind of reassuring.
Could you talk about the environment and the experience in the India? Your character, only one person who wear the kind of the shirts and their underwear. And the rest of the kind of people, your two brothers, always wear kind of suits. But my kind of expression, the India, is quite really hot and humidity. So you're only one person that kind of comfortable.
I was comfortable, thanks God. Those suits were hot in a train, believe me, with lights and a train and really being in India. But they were a choice made by Wes. I mean, I was in bed when this thing happened, and I get out of bed, and I'm in pink boxer shorts. And,
is this your first time to be India?
No, I went the year before on my own, and took a trip around and all over, actually, and I didn't know I'd be back within a year, so...
Okay.
So Wes told us, though, that he thought of you for this role for years before that. Did you have no idea that...
No, no idea.
Yeah.
Is that flattering? When you
Yeah, it's a big compliment, yeah. He actually was had become aware of my work and liked me very much from King of the Hill, which he had seen with Owen when it came out, which is a movie that I did when I was 19. Steven Soderbergh film, and so took him a while to put me in a movie.
Had you met Owen or Jason before, and if not, what did you guys do to get that brotherly feel to it?
Yeah, well, we met, but we definitely weren't brotherly from an encounter. It was casual meetings, but I think. Just the key was that everybody was great to be with, and kind of we all approached this with a very positive attitude. We were all there, we were all happy to be there, and we lived together in this big house. And I don't know, it you know, I felt honored to be welcomed into this family and this ensemble, and it was like a theater company, and I felt like, you know, being a part of that was a gift, because they already have their routine, they already have their way of working, and I'm pretty malleable. I can, you know, I can adjust, because I worked on so many different sets with different kinds of directors and different kinds of direction. I know what I have to do to protect my character and myself, and then I'm game to play the way they want to play within that. And this was really fun, because, you know, Wes wanted the preparation that I came with, and then he kind of had this fun, kind of high energy approach, and we just kind of all in all the time. Everybody's working. There was no trailers, there was no distractions. We just were working. And and joking around in between takes, but we were on an adventure together, and that was beautiful. And I think that is very present in the film, and the fact that we were kind of all going through this kind of journey is visible, and it has a really special quality that we wouldn't have been able to contribute if it was done in studio in Burbank. It would be a very different movie, unfortunately. And so that's the advantage of those kind of, you know,
Can you talk a little
occasions.
About the dynamic between the siblings? Because what struck me as funny, and what happens with our family all the time, is that, you know, you talk to somebody about something, and you say, "Don't tell this to Mom," or "Don't tell this to, you know, Johnny."
Inevitably somebody does.
So I'm just wondering if you talk a little bit about the dynamic between the family members.
Well, you know, obviously, I mean, I play a middle brother, and he's got issues with, well, they all have lots of things that they're dealing with and lots of things to overcome. I think it's obviously a dysfunctional family, and you know, I see them as fragmented human beings. They're not really able, they're underdeveloped, you know, and I think a lot of the qualities of my character, for instance, and all of them in a way, are very boyish. They haven't matured. You know, especially this affinity for poisonous snakes. It's like, that's me when I was 12, completely. Like, I would have definitely bought a cobra if I could. I wouldn't have considered any of the repercussions. I just would have bought that cobra, and taken that cobra home, and, you know. But, I, you know, I think they are... They're broken, and they...
Whoa.
Which one did that?
This did that to that. They broke each other.
Oh.
But together, they...
not getting along.
They were fighting. That was really funny, actually. The old and the new technology threw it off. You think you're better than me, you iPod? Fucking iPod. I'm the tape. Listen to the clarity. Listen to the hiss. That's real. Anyway. But together, they kind of end up becoming more whole and more complete, and so that's the journey. And but I think Peter has a hard time dealing with things that feel overwhelming. They are overwhelming to him, I think, and he just blocks them. And I know people who are like that, and it's definitely easier to just not deal with things, but that doesn't mean that they go away. That's why drugs aren't a solution. They would feel great, and if you could just take it and not deal with the problems, everybody would be on drugs, and that's why a lot of people are on drugs. Mm-hmm. But the second you get off drugs, those problems didn't go away. Mm-hmm. You're stuck dealing with them, and now you're stuck dealing with the fact that you now need a drug on top of that. That's the big dilemma. But essentially, that's what these guys are trying to do. They're trying to escape the pain of life and the problems and get past it, and until they have to face it headlong, and then they face it and grow. And that is the journey, I guess.
I read that you almost got killed on the set. Is that really true? Or was that
not on set, but I almost got killed a couple times in India. Yeah, there were a number of near-death experiences, but yeah.
Yikes!
Well, yeah. I try not to think about it, and I think what it reminded me of is that life is, precious and precarious, and that's what India kind of reminds you constantly, not just because of my own incidents, but because you see it everywhere. You see families, a mother and four children on a scooter riding, and she has a sari blowing in the wind, and it's about to go in the spokes, and it's constantly something. Dogs narrowly getting run over every 2 minutes, and it's very intense and tragic and beautiful at the same time. And there's this kind of freedom that people have there because I don't know, it's different. There are less rules, there's less of an awareness of the things that we kind of obsess on here, and but somehow most of the time people meander through it, and I don't know, it's yeah. Fascinating. It's a fascinating experience. But yeah, I did have a
electrocuted.
Yeah, well, I didn't get electrocuted. If it was electrified, that would have been not good either. But I had a power line going. I was standing on the back of a pickup truck. It almost pulled me off the back and choked me and dropped me off a moving truck. So.
Many people after they came back from India, they changed their kind of view of the life and also the kind of lifestyle. They totally changed. Do you have this kind of...
I've probably gained a lot of insight from a number of experiences traveling for roles in a film. I've lived in the rainforest, and when I did Thin Red Line, I was, it was very complicated, and that changed me a lot. I felt, I identified a lot with the struggle that soldiers would feel. And The Pianist did a big, profound effect on me because I really did everything that I could to understand loss and to understand a sense of pain. And the level that I experienced it, even though it was very uncomfortable for me, is incomparable with the pain that exists in this world and exists today in places like Africa. And hungry people everywhere, but actually, I mean, there's tons of hungry people. But I think India is a reminder of those kind of experiences. It's a reminder to embrace life, embrace it, and be present, and be thankful and not harp on the negativity, but kind of go with it. And I think that's part of what the journey of making the movie was. I mean, there were many obstacles, and rather than us butting our heads against it, because they weren't solvable by resistance. They were only solved by finding solutions. And I think that was a big lesson to me, to kind of resist a little less.
Are you currently filming anything right now?
Nope.
Are you getting ready to film something?
I might be. I have this, it's all up in the air. Everything's up in the air. It's kind of my life. But I've taken a break for a while. I went to Peru for a month, and I've been traveling in Europe, but I guess I have to start working soon. I can't take too big of a break. It's been fun, I gotta say.
What's it like for you to travel the world? Do you get to be anonymous in these countries?
Depends where. Most places I'm not anonymous anymore, surprisingly enough. It was really funny. In India, I was almost completely anonymous until 2 weeks before we went home. King Kong played on TV. And I was the guy from King Kong. You know, I was, hey, you were in King Kong? I was like, yeah, that's me. And then the whole train station would kind of go, that's the guy. And I have this great picture of me and like all these fans. Like, but no one knew who I was. And then I have a million fans like standing around me. It was amazing.
Did
it was really amazing.
Did Jason and Owen tease you about that?
No, I mean, it was more kind of, it wasn't like that there was a major shift. It was just that I went from complete anonymity to then being recognized from one airing of it on TV. Everybody caught that episode. they were glued to that TV. I didn't even, you know, I was amazed. But depends where you are.
And regarding this project that you might be doing, are you sort of...
Well, there are a few, so we're figuring out dates and what happens and all these things. So it's a juggling act. It's really a juggling act. And so I'm not sure what to say yet. It's not confirmed. I hate these unconfirmed things, but soon. I will be working soon. It'll be different too. To, you know.
Are these like Hollywood kind of big? I'll come on, I might as well follow
up. Hollywood. I mean,
you and then her, and then we.
Okay, sure. It's I don't know. I'm not doing a big Hollywood movie. If that's the question, they're not like big kind of studio fare, but they're different. I mean, I'm trying to find something exciting for me to do, and so yeah, that's it.
Can you just give one quick sentence on Aunt Angelica Houston as your mom?
Oh, yeah.
Angelica Houston, what a mom.